Is India the world's next economic superpower? Will India be the next great economic power? Yes or no? We look at three arguments for and three against.
Yes, because of demographics. Last year, India replaced China as the world's most populous country, with 1.4 billion citizens. For the past 40 years or so, China has been the world's factory, and that has powered the economic boom that has seen it start to rival the USA in economic terms. But as political tensions between China and the West grow, businesses such as Apple are turning towards India as the new place to base their manufacturing. India today offers the same thing that China offered in the 1980s, and South Korea and Japan in earlier decades: a large supply of cheap labour. In 2030, when China will be experiencing the Western problem of how to support its ageing and increasingly unproductive population, 1.04 billion Indians will be of working age, and only 31% of the population dependent on them. Already, India has replaced Britain as the world's fifth largest economy, and it aims to move into third place, overtaking Germany and Japan by 2027. Displacing China will take longer, but US investment bank Goldman Sachs believes India will have done so by 2075.
No, because of infrastructure. This is not the first time analysts have said India is the country of the future. In 1990, India and China were similar in terms of per capita income and the opportunities they represented for Western businesses in terms of cheap labor. But factories need reliable power supplies, and exporters good road, rail, and shipping networks. China identified this as the essential factor back then, and spent trillions modernizing its infrastructure, demolishing and rebuilding its major cities in the process. India did not, and the result is that today, China's per capita income is almost five times higher than India's. This infrastructure problem includes the country's education system. Yes, India has a massive supply of young people, but the 2023 India Skills Report concluded that, in reality, only half of them are employable. The highly educated middle classes account for only 66 million of India's inhabitants. Many of the rest are too poorly educated to work in modern industries and will remain part of India's huge, informal economy. They won't pay taxes, which means the government will have less money to invest in improving infrastructure. And so, the problem continues.
Yes, because of reforms. The government of Narendra Modi, in power since 2014, seems to have learned the lessons of the past. As well as building some 10,000 kilometres of new highways every year, it has been investing heavily in green electricity production. According to the Indian government, electricity production is now greater than the country's needs. Every village in the country has power, and 43% of the national grid is from renewables. There are 34 international airports and 13 major ports. The reason why all of this is possible today and wasn't before is thanks to a major culture change in government. From independence in 1947 through to the 1990s, India was possibly the most notorious country in the world for bureaucracy. As a legacy of the Marxist policies of its post-independence years, virtually the entire economy was government-controlled. Simple things involved long, impossibly complicated processes with licenses, taxes, and even bribes to pay. This made modernization almost impossible. The country had liberalized long before Modi came to power, but he has turbocharged the process, eliminating an incredible 39,000 regulations in recent years.
No, because of corruption. A country becomes superpower rich because the world does business there. That means it needs an economy that is stable. Investors have to believe that business is based on legal procedures and honest accounting. But India has a problem with corruption that goes all the way to the top. India's richest man, Gautam Adani, founded the Adani Group in 1988. The company is active in numerous areas: electricity production, operating airports and seaports, mining, natural gas production, and much more. By the beginning of 2023, Adani had risen to become the world's third richest man, and this rise has mirrored the rise of his close friend Narendra Modi, the Indian Prime Minister. As Modi progressed from local politics to national leadership, Adani was his primary financial backer. Modi, in return, was very helpful in advancing Adani's business interests. India is a place where who you know is more important than what you know. In January of last year, a New York-based financial research organization accused the Adani Group of organizing the largest con in financial history. For years, Adani had secretly been buying shares in his own businesses to manipulate the company's stock market price. False accounting had vastly exaggerated the performance of the group. Unsurprisingly, he is no longer the world's third richest man. The problem for India, though, is that Adani is not an exception. Corruption is endemic, and the lines between the political, commercial, and criminal worlds often invisible. That makes India a problematic place for the rest of the world to do business.
Yes, because of the diaspora. What do Google, Microsoft, IBM, YouTube, and Adobe have in common? They are all headed by Indians. This reflects India's strength in information technology, as well as its reputation for producing good business people. 25 of America's top 500 businesses currently have Indian CEOs. But these CEOs are just the tip of the iceberg, because the Indian diaspora is the world's largest, with 30 million citizens living overseas, according to government figures. They are principally based in the USA, Great Britain, and the Gulf Arab states, all key economic locations. While some diasporas remain quite insular within their adopted nations, Indians are well integrated in all areas of society, business, politics, and medicine, to name just the most obvious. Narendra Modi believes this diaspora, if successfully exploited, will be a key factor in the country's economic and political rise.
No, because of politics. The more one considers the question of whether India will become a superpower, the more Narendra Modi's name keeps coming back. The most successful and popular politician India has produced in decades, he is the person most determined to make India a superpower. But for all that he has done to improve India's chances of achieving this, he's also someone who may ultimately become a barrier. Firstly, his Hindu nationalist populism is dividing Indian society, and that eventually weakens a country. Secondly, although democratically elected, he has authoritarian tendencies. The longer someone like that stays in office, the more authoritarian they become. Already, the media is less free, the courts are less independent, and ordinary Indians are increasingly nervous about expressing their opinions too loudly, because anyone who criticizes Modi or his policies is instantly denounced as being anti-Indian. Sooner or later, that will make people from the rest of the world, businessmen and politicians, nervous about where the country is going. Perhaps India is indeed traveling a path toward becoming a superpower, but only time will tell.